Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hai Jaya Gopi Chanam Vallabha Giri Varada Jai Gopi Chana Bhava Giri Varada Yashoda Nandana Bhaja Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Bhaja Janaranjana Jamuna Tera Vanachari Jamuna Tera Vanachari Rada Madhava Kunjabi Hai Jaya Rada Madhava Kunjabi Hai Jai Gopi Chana Vallabha Giri Varada Jai Gopi Chana Vallabha Giri Varada Yashoda Nandana Bhaja Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Bhaja Janaranjana Jamuna Tera Vanachari Jamuna Tera Vanachari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama Rama, Rama, Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Jai Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jai Om Vishvapada Paramahamsa Fakatata Tessa Shishima. This is the Divine Grace, Sesi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Jai. Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Fakatata Tessa Shishima. This is the Divine Grace. Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasati Prabhupada. Andhu Swami Prabhupada. Jai. Nanti Kirti Vaishnavinda Ki Jai. Namachai Srila Das Tikku Ki Jai. Purimsakaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhinityananda. Shri Advaita Gadara. Shri Gaura Bhaktivinoda Kija, Shri Radha Krishna Gopal Gopinath Shamakana Radhika, Yadigar Vidhan Kija, Jamuna Maiki, Ganga Maiki, Tulasi Devi Bhakti Devi Kija, Sambhavita Bhaktivinoda Kija, Shri Vrindavan Amata Radhika Kija, Navaduta Maya Vidhan Kija, Jagannath Vidhan Kija, New Raman Riti Dham Kija, Transcendental Book Distribution Kija, Transcendental Prasadam Distribution Kija, Riyatmadanga Kija, Shri Harinam Sankirtan Ki Jai, Iskan Founder Chai, BBT Founder Chai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Shri Shri Radha Samasinda Ki Jai, Shri Shri Krishna Balaram Ki Jai, Shri Lakshmi Srinapala Ki Jai, Shri Shri Gornitai Ki Jai. Oh, glories to the assembled devotees! Glories to the assembled devotees! Glories, all glories to Shri Shri Gauranga Ranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Third Canto, The Status Quo, Chapter 24, Renunciation of Kardama Muni, Text 14. All right, if you've read ahead, you're probably aware that this is an unusual verse and purport. Since it's now summer, there's no possibility of crossing the frozen lake. So we're going to have to take the long way around. Here we go. Imaduhitara satyas. Imaduhitara satyas. Tava vatsra sama. Dhyama Tava Vatsa Samadhyama. What's this? Sargam etam prabhavesya. Sargam etam prabhavesya. Vimhayishyanta nekada. Vimhayishyanta nekada. Very good. Imadurasra. Duhitara satyas tavabhatsa samajama sargam etam parvavese vimhasishyasatnekayada. Imadhitara satyas. Tavavatsra samadhyama. Sargam etam pravarasya. Vimhasya syasthanekada. If you'd be so kind. Anyone else? Nice outfit. Yeah, baseball uniform, looks good. Yeah. All right, proceeding with the word for word. Ima, these. Durhitara, daughters, satyaha, chaste, tava, your, vata, oh my dear son, sumadhyama, thin-waisted. Sargam, creation. Etam, this. Prabhavaya, by descendants. Svaya, their own. Brimha yashyanti. They will increase. Aneka daha, in various ways. Translation by the Bangas, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Lord Brahma then praised Kardama Muni's 9 daughters, saying, all your thin-waisted daughters are certainly very chaste. I am sure they will increase this creation by their own descendants in various ways. Please repeat. Lord Brahma then praised Kardama Muni's 9 daughters, saying, all your thin-waisted daughters are certainly very chaste. I am sure they will increase this creation by their own descendants in various ways. Thank you very much. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. In the beginning of creation, Brahma was concerned, more or less, with increasing the population. And when he saw that Kardama Muni had already begotten 9 nice daughters, he was hopeful that through the daughters, many children would come who would take charge of the creative principle of the material world. That's interesting. He was therefore happy to see them. The word Samudhayama means, quote, a good daughter of a beautiful woman, end quote. If she has a thin waist, a woman is considered very beautiful. All the daughters of Kardama Muni were of the same beautiful nature. Om Agnate Mirandasya Gana Gana Sakala Chakshu Meditamena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manavistam Stapitam Meravitale Swayam Viparakaramayam Narati Swapandarikam Vandayam Shri Guru Shri Utapakaram Kamalam Shri Guru Vaisnavam Shah Shri Rupam Savadatam Sahagana Akatanta Sajivam Sadvetam Savitam Parajana Sayatam Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Sri Radha Krishna Padan, Sahagana Lalita, Shivasakritam Vinsha. Hey Krishna, Karuna Sindha, Dina Bandha Dhyapate, Gopisha Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta Namastite. Oh, my dear Krishna, you are the friend of the distressed and the source of creation. You are the master of the gopis and the lover of Radharani. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Tapta Kanchana Gauranga, Radha Vrindavanishwari, Vishabhana Sita Devi, Pranamami Haripriya. Offer my respects to Radharani, whose bodily complexion is like molten gold, and who is the queen of Vrindavan. You are the daughter of King Vrishabhanu, and you are very dear to Lord Krishna. Vanchakalpaturvyasra, Kripasindhavayavacha, Patitana Bhavanavya, Vishabhavya Namo Namaha. Offer my respectful obeisances unto all the Vaishnava devotees of the Lord. They can fulfill the desires of everyone, just like desire trees, and they are full of compassion for the fallen souls. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadara Shiva Sadhgara Bhaktivinoda, offer my obeisances to Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadara Shiva, and all others in the line of devotion. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And you're left to define that on your own. We're back to the verse. Imaduratra satyas tavatata samadhyama sagam etam babhavesya Brahma Yishyasyanta Anekada. Lord Brahma then praised Kardama Muni's 9 daughters, saying, your thin-waisted daughters are certainly very chaste. I am sure that they will increase this creation by their own descendants in various ways. I'm begging you, please bestow your mercy upon me, please. Because it is the qualification of the audience or the eagerness by which they attend that will draw out some value in the speaker. So without your, you're not able to hear, brother? I should speak up. Okay, if you would kindly bless me with the capacity to say something of value, then the responsibility is yours, and I can just, shrug it off. That's one approach. The other is, here we have Lord Brahma, who's quite much acquainted with Kardama Muni, And he's not referring to his granddaughters, he's referring to the daughters of Kadamamuni. Kadamamuni's daughters, they're, I don't know the number, I don't know how to say it. There are nine of the same birth. Srila Prabhupada uses nice, delicate terminology. So there were nine ovums possessed by Devahuti, and they were impregnated by the nine expansions of Kadamamuni. Kadamamuni went back to his hermitage and sent nine expansions to do their business. Right? And the result was that nine daughters of equal capacity. You know, it was, I was discussing it with another person yesterday, and I said, I really don't know the term, nine twins. No, we could, nine twins, that's not the right word. So it's a, sort of like a litter. A litter meaning many, many children simultaneously born. And no rent, no rent of the litter, all equal in quality. And this quality that Brahma, with his eight eyes, is able to perceive is that they all have thin wrists. So when a person has a thin wrist, it stems from numerous sources. You can approach it from, let's say, genetics. So genetically, father and mother both fit individuals. Devahuti had performed the identical austerities as her husband, and in due course, her husband was so satisfied with the performance of the devotional service of his wife that he supplied more or less a celestial castle in the sky. Fulfillment of all facilities so that she could enjoy. She admits, and previously he admits to Vishnu directly, because it all starts from Vishnu, that he had a lusty desire. Modern definition of lust is not very pleasant and isn't very accommodating to the pursuit of spiritual life. Admitting that there's a lusty desire, the lust, Srila Prabhupada defines, is simply a desire for selfish sense gratification, individual, right? Not for others, or not for the pleasure of the Lord, just for yourself. So it's very nice to confess, especially to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that you have a desire that's selfish, because he will engage it in his purpose. And his purpose is to facilitate everyone. He has been fulfilling everyone's desire since time immemorial, according to Sri Ashopanishad. We can accept that. How does he do that? He facilitates selfish desire, you could say. In other words, teaching through the line of disciplic succession, a method by which your selfish desire can be dovetailed or incorporated with the pursuit of spiritual advancement. Then Devahuti admitted, I'm really lusty, but my body's now depleted from having engaged in the austerities of monastic or ascetic behavior. So Kardama produced this astonishing, it was even astonishing to him how extraordinarily wonderful, not just a house with two rooms, Srila Prabhupada points out, but a large, expansive palace with separate apartments, all decorated beautifully with precious gems and jewels, and with all sorts of environments that would enhance the the performance of producing offspring. And so in this situation, Devahuti immediately surveyed the beautiful palace and wasn't very enthusiastic about it. She wasn't. And Kardama, being perceptive, it's a duty of the husband to be perceptive. Of course, it's very hard to understand a woman's mind, but he was perceptive enough to see that she wasn't feeling fit to engage in that new environment. Her body was aligned with asceticism. So he instructed her to bathe in this lake that's adjacent to all these hermitages. This is a lake that has been sanctified by the teardrops of Krishna. And so it has healing properties. So she dove right in, according to the instruction. We heard this yesterday, that as soon as the spiritual master, who happens to be her husband in this case, instructed to, you should bathe here, yeah, dive in. And when she dove in, she saw a house in the water. And she went into the house, and there were many beautiful girls. And the many beautiful girls introduced themselves, we are your maidservants. And they bathed her thoroughly, top to bottom, with all sorts of rejuvenative oils and herbs, and gave her tonics, which Prabhupada mentions. I was going to look it up online to see if it's available. Yeah, the rejuvenating herbal decoction. Prabhupada calls it a drug. And then just on the thought of her husband, after she's been cleansed and rejuvenated, just the thought of her husband brought her back to the shore. And she stands before her husband. Then it's stated, a very long time they endured. And the result of their enjoyment, of course, again, there's a subtext, and that subtext is that Kodama Muni used his mystic power once again to expand himself into 9 separate forms to satisfy, and here's where the ice gets really thin, the exaggerated capacity of lust for the women. 9 times more, right? So the math, there's a lot of math issues here. There's a lot of time frame. It's better to we can delve into it a bit, but it's better just to accept it. Right? That Kodama Muni previously had performed austerities for hundreds of years. But it was in Satyayuga, and people live for 100,000 years. So even if the person performs for 100 years, it's a very short period of time. And because of his sincerity, he had audience directly with Vishnu. And in that audience, he explained what his needs were. And one of the needs he had, very simple one, was to satisfy his lust. Simultaneously, and this is announced, or predicted, you could say, by Vishnu, there was Sarva Manu and his wife flying in an airplane, searching for you, Kardama, searching for you. They're going everywhere looking, right? Because they have their daughter, marriageable age. And as Vishnu went away on the path to Vaikuntha, the wings of Garuda carrying him, and the wings vibrating the Samaveda, right? Which Srila Prabhupada says the essence of the Samaveda is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So if you've been in this room this morning, or any day practically, you've heard this Hare Krishna mantra. It's posted on the wall over there in case you don't know the words. Yeah? And it's intended to come to this room to kickstart your mind on the path to Vaikuntha. Just as the fluttering or batting of the wings of Garuda carry Vishnu to Vaikuntha, the very same vibration, the Hare Krishna mantra, carries the soul back to Vaikuntha. Okay. So Vishnu left the scene and forthwith Swayambhuva Manu, his wife and daughter, Devahuti, appear, and the daughter is given to Kadambamuni. There's a nice little extra piece in the story, and that is in separation from his daughter brought him, meaning Swayambhuva Manu, to tears. The strong attachment that one has. A very qualified daughter, but who's the matchmaker? It's very interesting also. The matchmaker is Narada Muni. We're about to hear about Narada Muni being on the scene with his brothers and with Brahma. They came together on a swan-shaped airplane. It must have been the size of a bus. Very large. Previously, Narada Muni had described the qualities and features of Kadamba Muni, and Devahuti had heard about them. So she was duly attracted, not by seeing him immediately, but just simply by hearing about him. And here's the qualities, or quality, very important quality. So throughout the Bhagavatam, and throughout this story, of course, because this is a story from the Bhagavatam, qualities are presented. What the qualification is, and principles, application of the qualities is principle. Principles to uphold. And now, here in the audience of Brahma, and he has passengers. The passengers are nine sages, and they are of proper qualification to match the nine daughters of Devahuti and Kadamba Muni, and that will be a glimpse at the coming future. We'll go back now today, because Srila Prabhupada has pointed out that the beauty of a woman is the thin waist. And this thin waist, as I said before, can be credited to genetics. It can be credited to the parents or the lineage. But another aspect is poise. And when, not pose, poise, posture, if one stands straight, then everything is aligned nicely, and it makes the prominent aspects, shoulders, hips, etc., open. They're open. And in childbearing, open hips is very important. And for breathing, the shoulders are open, very important. The thin waist relates to what is very popularly referred to as core, the core strength. If you have real strength, it doesn't come from your biceps or even your legs. In order for all the expansions of the central part of your body, the core must be strong in order to lift a heavy weight. And it's not your arms or your legs that are working as hard as the core. It really doesn't move. It just tightens up. That's what it does. It tightens up. And that happens when a person practices pranayama also. Breath in, breath up, or reverse. Breath in, expand, and breath out, tighten up. Core strength. Why am I talking about this? Does it have any relation to this? You know, pranayama is part of it. You know, Prabhupada refers to it in Bhagavad Gita. Drilling the respiration. Drilling it means putting it through a pace. Putting it through a pace. And by doing that, one develops a capacity to meditate properly. There are nice stories about how common in the former age it was that one would practice a form of breathing control, breath control, and that would assist a person to go into a deep meditative state. Of course, Srila Prabhupada has assured that by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, japa, right? He's this man here, he is performing pranayama by chanting japa. Because breath out, breath in, breath out, breath in. Yes? And then there are various approaches to pranayama. There's one nostril, the other nostril, one nostril, the other nostril. There's panting breath, right? And there's assertive breath. There's withholding the breath, and there's holding the breath, right? So according to your capacity, when you chant japa, you can extend the mantras or withhold the mantras, or you can pant the mantras. That's the same approach. Going back to the core idea that I had, the reason I'm following this avenue of thought is because the core is principle. What is our core principle? Ours as a collective body, as ISKCON, as a, what is it? What is our core purpose? What is our, or the, you don't have to, if you don't want to own it, you can be impersonal and just say the core quality. What is that core quality? Tama Mahaprabhu introduced the Prabhupada had vigorous mood. And what is that mood? The mood, if you go around and ask what Prabhupada's mood was, but you'll probably come up with different ideas. Maybe he's moody. Right? The word mood, it relates to humor. It relates to, and with humor, there is laughter. And with laughter, there is pranayama. When you laugh, it's very good for digestion. Very good. I'm sorry my class isn't hilariously funny to help you, but this is a serious matter. I mean, I could have approached it from a whimsical point of view and just talked about waste, right? There's a sign over on the prasadam table that says, reduced waste, right? If you bring your own container, that will reduce waste. But if you really want to reduce your waste, if you want to reduce your waste, eat less. That's another approach to thin waste, is eat less. And move more, right? That every day, everyone who comes into this room has an option to practice the most simplistic aspect of yoga. Well, the lower form of yoga is, what do they call it? What is that yoga? The yoga of gymnastics, probably calls it gymnastics. So the child pose. The child pose is the same as paying full obeisances, not prostrate obeisances, but the one where you're hunched in like this. In order to do that properly, you exhale. And your core tightens up, and your back bends beautifully. And the modern yogis who are rediscovering the principles of yoga, they say that your age is the age of your spine. Age of your spine. And another person could say, because they're reflex organs, the age of your body is your internal terrain, which is your intestines. And if you analyze the body, it's just a bunch, whole collection of extraordinary filtration organs and digestive organs and pumps, lots of pumps, a bunch of pumps in there. There's the heart, right? And it's connected by all these little tubes, lots of little hoses. It's a pretty gross set of stuff, but it's organized. It's very organized. That's why we call it organs, right? It fits really beautifully, tightly, under the protective shell of the rib cage, right? It's in a cage, and it's protected. And in the back, there are a nice little filtration for all the liquid that goes in your body. That's your kidneys, right? The same size as your ears, right? So when you have hearing problems, which I do, then it indicates that you have kidney problems. And the kidneys are dependent upon another filtration organ, and that's the liver, right? The liver processes oils and everything you put into your mouth. Okay. And then there's the lungs. Right? The lungs are another filtration and pump. Well, do the bellows of the blacksmith not breathe? Do the bellows of the blacksmith not breathe? Well, they breathe, but they're not, the air is not held, it's pumped through the if you're breathing in your chest, as opposed to taking the air to the pit of your core chakra, then you're not breathing correctly. Right? The bellows, or the organ that pumps, meaning the lungs, they're intended to bring air through into the depth of your being. According to Hippocrates, who's not an emperor, the most cleansing element that you can bring into your body, and this is reinforced by modern medical application, is oxygen. When a person is in dire straits, then the first application, besides ice, which contains oxygen, or water, which contains oxygen, is oxygen. And this can revive the person. It can revive the person. And when a person is really strapped, really having a hard time for whatever reason. And one experience I had was I was assisting a friend with childbirth. I've had the pleasure or privilege of assisting people with childbirth. And childbirth is definitely a core exercise, and it definitely requires some extraordinary assertion of energy. And in order to maintain cognizance during the process, sometimes oxygen is applied. And they have a new facility, you've probably seen in movies, you know, people revive, they put a mask over the person's mouth like this, and they breathe oxygen. If you call it emergency, that's the first thing. If an ambulance comes, they're coming. First thing, they're carrying oxygen right away. But in this case, in this instance of childbirth, they had a cute little thing that went over the nose of the mother. It just went over the nose and gave oxygen. That's another aspect of the breathing capacity, that the nose is where you channel air in. And for those of you who have anger issues, I have anger issues. I can happily share them with you, but I'd rather probably not benefit you by any means to have anger issues displayed. But if you want to release your anger, it's a martial art technique. If you want to release your anger, and the reason why it's done is that if you want to really combat someone, and we're talking about Kshatriya race here, Bhagavad Gita refers to Kshatriya race. And the Srimad Bhagavatam, in this case, I mean, it's Kshatriyas and Brahmanas working in cooperation, giving protection to one another. In order to release anger so that you have a clear perspective on your foe, you exhale vigorously. You can try it. You tighten up every part of your body and you release your air really quickly. And that will release your emotional stigma. Okay, back to core principle. Core principle, or core practice, core outlook, core purpose. This movement is a preaching movement. Preaching. Okay, let's find someone and batter them down. I tell them everything about Krishna in 10 minutes, and then they'll know everything and walk away and never want to have anything to do with the Hare Krishnas ever again. No, that's not preaching. Preaching is defined in chapter 10 of Bhagavad Gita in the word for word. In text 9, one of the core verses. And it's this phrase, always enlightening one another and conversing about me. If you look at the word for words, Prabhupada uses preaching. That word, preaching, is always enlightening one another and conversing about me. I should be talking about Krishna more, but at least I've ended up with Hare Krishna. Right? And in the middle, I said the Maha Mantra, and all morning we've been saying the Maha Mantra, And what is its meaning of this mantra? It's left to your own devices here on page 3 of the Bhagavad Gita. It says, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And all the other prayers have a definition. Most of you know. But it's for the reader to find out that it means, please engage me in your service. Engage me in your service indicates action. It indicates assertion. It indicates glorification. It indicates everything. Here's a, you know, if I drummed out of the core, if I don't say Prabhupada at least once. So Srila Prabhupada, one of the many charming statements he made was that we are preaching, he's referring to himself, but he is also referring to we, the collective unit of his bounty of servants. We are preaching 24 hours a day, pause, and sometimes we are speaking. So the preaching, the ratio of preaching, or the percentage of preaching that goes on is by acts of, or exemplary acts of devotion. Behavior, right? How you conduct your business. The core principle of being qualified to be included in the human race. And where is this human race going? Well, hopefully it's going back to Godhead. And we've looked at this whole third canto. It's another review of creation. Again and again, the Bhagavatam runs through creation. Fifth canto, it's all about the planetary systems. Others, it's a beginning of creation and talks about how people got here or why people are here in the first place, right? How people got here? Desire. Desire. They wanted to be here. Right? And then another desire, Krishna's desire. Krishna's desire to fulfill desire. Right? But his desire extends beyond fulfilling that desire. Because once you're here, just like Devahuti looking at the palace thinking, I'm not qualified. I don't fit. I need to be purified. So the material world, although it doesn't appear that way on the surface, is also designed for the purification of the soul so that they can fly back to Godhead, fly back to Vaikuntha, vibrating the Hare Krishna mantra. That's the process of devotional service. And at this stage, in this yuga, as opposed to Kardama Muni's Satya Yuga, now we're in Kali Yuga, and everybody shrugs and says, it's Kali Yuga, what can you do? It's Kali Yuga, what can you do? Well, the Bhagavatam actually answers that, right? In the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it specifically says what you can do is Hari Nama, Hari Nama, Hari Nama, Eva Kevalam, Kalona Steva, Nisteva, Nisteva, Gatya Anatta. That means Sankirtan. Sankirtan, the public or congregational or perfect recitation of the name in public. That's what attracted most of you to the movement originally. You heard somehow the Maha Mantra being broadcast publicly. And then somehow or other, you were fortunate enough to hear directly from Srila Prabhupada in the form of a book. All right, well, what's the core principle? What's the core practice? What is the core purpose? What is the core application? It is being friendly to everyone. Being friendly. And when you're friendly, you share what you prize the most, what your realizations are. What your realizations are aren't necessarily quotation of the scripture, but your realization of the conclusion of the scripture. This will keep your race thin because you will be poised, right? Women who are poised, everything aligns. And the big parts become prominent, and the small parts become less prominent, right? And they breathe fully in order to hold that poise, because that breathing helps their mind to become peaceful, right? And they exercise something that isn't discussed that frequently here in this venue, and that is they practice restraint. Devotees are intended to recognize where restraint is required. If someone asks you a question, you can just bend their ears out of shape, telling them everything and going on and on. But if you bait them, like hooking a fish, if you bait them with a tidbit of the philosophy and cause them to feel eagerness to find out more, and you present that in a very friendly fashion, then you're preaching. They'll ask, what's that on your forehead? What's that on your forehead? What is this? What is this? Your dog collar, what is that about? And you give them a short answer. And you, of course, you say Krishna several times in the process. Then they hear it. And then you offer them literature, because the best preacher is His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. So I could think to myself, well, you definitely got the lemon here. Right? This verse is a lemon. I don't know, there's a modern adage that says, when circumstance gives you lemon, make lemonade. So hopefully I've squeezed out the lemon and add a little sweetness to it and sufficient amount of other sources, oxygen in the form of this naturally occurring oxygen and hydrogen called water, and it's serving you lemonade. Because this verse refers to something obscure. In Kali Yuga, a thin race, it doesn't matter. Another quote from Srila Prabhupada says that for a lusty man, in modern age, modern terms, the world is full of beautiful women. And the reverse holds. For a lusty woman, the world is full of handsome men. But according to the scripture, in the age of Kali, no one is really beautiful at all. Even if they have a beautiful external, a lot of times you find the people who are so externally beautiful that their internal part is extraordinarily unattractive because they're so filled with pride about the shell. The devotees, they're all beautiful outside and inside. They're really beautiful. The devotees are beautiful because they're using heart, mind, body, intelligence, and they've come in touch with that which is not false, ego, by identifying themselves as servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And all the other exercises, they're byproducts. If you want fitness, it's there. You have to assert yourself. If you want to extract people from the material world, every opportunity is there, but you have to start with yourself. So let's see. Yeah, we've pretty much used up the time allotment here, and I've requested, because of my handicap, that if you have a question, that Soma Prabhu will answer it, because I'm not going to hear you. But I know how much you love to discuss. I've observed how much you love to discuss topics. So I'm opening the floor for you, and I'll give you one more option. If you have your phone handy, you can take down this number, 336-327-1998, and you can send me all the criticism and all the corrections you like. I'd be happy to read it, and if you want me to respond, just put a little note in there that says, please respond. I'll do it. Otherwise, if you have a question or comment, the floor is yours. Thank you very much for your attention. Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai, glories to the assembled and unassembled devotees. Okay, good. Thanks. There we go.
Prabhu, Soma Prabhu. Why? Why was he? Why did Krishna emphasize the thin, wasted daughters? Was there glorifying the beauty of the daughters for some reason? Was there? Can you answer that, please?
He said he's going to answer. Someone has to be courted. It's not me this time.
I don't know.
I guess they were very beautiful. Ladies, anybody has one? Soma's ready for answering any question. He'll tell you flatly he doesn't know. You have some?
No.
I guess we're good.
We can talk one-on-one, here. Yeah, with the microphone, it becomes
nice. No, we're good. We're good.
I apologize.
We're good.
Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're released now. Class is ended. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.